Some of you may be fans of the television show Celebrity Apprentice. Oftentimes we learn in programs such as that lessons about life, leadership, business. Oftentimes those lessons are things that we need to do, but you know, a lot of the time some of the lessons in life are what we don't need to do. Some of those who participate in that journey to become the number one, the apprentice, the one who wins it all, the one who ultimately is not, in the words of Donald Trump, fired. It can oftentimes be a toxic situation for those participants. They can gossip, they can backbite, they can attack. Those who they thought were friends, well, they become enemies. And the ones who smile deep down inside sometimes are frowning. It can be a tough world, right? This past season on Celebrity Apprentice, one who won the ultimate prize was an unlikely soul. Her name was Lisa Givens. Some of you will be familiar with her time on Entertainment Tonight or one of the other popular television shows that covered entertainment in Hollywood. Lisa Givens, unlike many who participated, she responded in a very different way. Her mode of strategy, it seemed to be, not really was a strategy at all. It seemed that she was just being herself. Her very nature was not to be confrontational, but to be one who built consensus. One who generated excitement and enthusiasm from her teammates. It seemed like when they were on her team, they wanted to work with her and even for her to make her look good. They loved and appreciated and respected her strategy of caring for people. Of having, it seemed, a respect for all around her. And it became contagious. So in the dog-eat-dog business world, that seemed like that was the only way you could make it. She transcended those normal principles, rose above to care about others, and found herself victorious. She would later, when interviewed and asked what was her inspiration, who was the greatest teacher in her life? Was it some guru on management or planning? Or leadership? And no, she simply said, my greatest inspiration, the best teacher I ever had, was my mother. And many of us can say amen to that, right? She said it was her mother that taught her those loving principles, to have a nurturing heart, to never forget who she was and who she represented. It was those essentials, even from her earliest days on earth, that poured into her not only gifts of leadership, but gifts to share love with the world around her. That's what mothers do. You know, we dads, we try, don't we? But we don't have a crowd turnout like this on Father's Day, do we? Mothers, we appreciate them. We want to express our love for them. Why? Because in the spirit of Lisa Givens, they first loved us. They've always been there for us. And they've inspired us with the very grassroots of our faith. Love. Isn't that what John is saying here in our text? When he proclaims to us all throughout these verses that four-letter word, love. John says here in verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, quoting Jesus. It's time to listen, isn't it? It's time for our ears to perk up. What's Jesus going to say? What's the commandment he's going to leave? This is just before his journey to the Garden of Gethsemane, his ultimate journey to the cross of Calvary, his last teaching point with his disciples, and he says, I'm going to leave you with this commandment. Here it is. Love one another. It's the only commandment Jesus gave us. as the Lord on this earth. Matthew recorded it this way. In case you say, oh, Jody, you're reading into the text too much, but Matthew says in the Gospel, chapter 22, when Jesus is asked, you might remember that exchange where one comes to him and says, Jesus, what's the greatest of all commandments? And Jesus describes and says, all the law, all the teachings, and all the prophets, all the wisdom writings hang upon this principle, love. But it's not only recorded in the Gospel or in the writings of John, but also Paul, the one who originated much of our New Testament, the first and the deepest and one of the most profound theologians of our faith. Paul said in Romans 13 that it all hangs on love. Our principles, our practices, our faith is rooted in God's love and our love for one another. That's the essence. That's the beginning of our faith. That's the root of what we are as Christian people. It's good news to know that Jesus Christ didn't give us a list of do's and don'ts that were so complicated that we couldn't interpret. No, the smallest mind can understand, can't we? That Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Friends, that's our faith. That's the essence of who we are as Christian people. Those who were loved and called to love. Now it raises the question for us, or at least we need to reconsider in some respect today, or have a reminder, if we don't argue or we don't have any question that we as Christian people are called to love, let's remember, what exactly is love? I'm fond of the writings of Stephen Covey, who said once in describing an exchange he had with a participant at one of the seminars, Covey being a profound counselor and educator of people, one of the participants came up to him after the seminar and he spoke of his marriage challenges, how his life was falling apart with his wife. He's described it in this way. He said, we just don't have the fire for each other anymore. We don't have the passion that we once had. I guess in some ways, Dr. Covey, I just have to get right to the point. We don't love each other anymore. And Covey said, say, it's just not there anymore, huh? Yeah, that's right, Dr. Covey. You just don't have it. You just don't love each other anymore, right? Yes, that's right, doctor. And Covey said, well, what you need to do is you need to love her. He said, you're not getting the point. I can't love her. I want to love her, but I don't love her. The passion's not there. And Covey said, yeah, what you need to do is you need to love her. He said, but I don't love her. And with that, Covey said, you're confusing love the emotion with love the action. The faith. And the secret to a relationship is not relying on the emotions, the passion, the fire. But no, it's rooted in action and love that is the verb, not the noun. It's what we do. It's when we put our love in action, it often inspires the loving emotion and feeling for the other. So in the words of the writer here this morning, in the words of John, we hear this call of Jesus to love, but we are mindful that it's not simply a feeling, it's a function. It's what we do as husbands and wives. It's what we do as people of faith. It's what we do as Christian people in our world. It's love. He records it this way as he quotes Jesus. Jesus describes it, love, the action, in this way when he says, no one has greater love than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You see the love in action? The very basis of the life that Jesus taught and lived wasn't in a simple emotion for us, but it was in an active giving and sacrificial love that he gave all of himself for all of us. Friends, that's love. It's doing our faith. It's loving the world around us and inspiring a love for the Lord. You know, as a young person and fresh out of college, when I began my working career, I struggled to try to learn how to be a leader. How, in the spirit of that celebrity apprentice, to influence people, to make decisions, to become successful. I remember working under the leadership of my Uncle Jimmy. He was my boss then. And I thought Jimmy was just way too relaxed. Way too easygoing. When people would mess up, well, it wasn't that big of a deal. He didn't hold them highly accountable. I'd been playing college football. I mean, I was intense. I thought when they mess up, you got to get to the point. You got to get them straightened out. If they can't do them, get it out of there. And then one day, guess what happened? I became the messer-upper. Have you ever been the messer-upper? When you become the one who messed up, your view of how it needs to be responded changes very differently, doesn't it? I cost us some money. Still hadn't told my dad that. Y'all don't tell him, okay? I messed up. And oh, I was aching and hurting and just wondering how my uncle was going to respond. But you know what? He knew that my actions were not intentional. That wasn't my desire. I'd made a mistake. And he met me as a boss and as a manager with grace and love. He didn't say it was okay. He helped me learn how to not make the same mistake again. But he taught me how to love and be a leader. And it made a difference in my life. I guess what I'm trying to say, before I could really learn how to lead and influence people and inspire people and make a difference in the world, I had to be nurtured myself. It was when I experienced His grace as a manager that it changed my life and it made me want to share those principles with others. Sure, I'm not saying we're doormats. I'm not saying there shouldn't be accountability in our workplace, in our relationships with our children, in our church. But can't we embrace those rules and principles with love and patience and integrity? That's what I learned. That's what I received. And thus, that's what I wanted to share. Doesn't it often work like that? When we receive something, we want to give it back. We want to share the beauty that we've known and experienced. Friends, as people of faith, God calls us to embody and practice love in all of our relationships. And know the joy that's found only in Jesus Christ. In the words of my little friend Leah this morning. When we practice love in Christ, we know joy. in Christ. That's what he means in verse 11. When he says, I've called you to love so that your joy will be fully complete. But the beauty of our text begins here, my friends, where it says in the very first verse I read to you, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. You remember those principles I taught to you that my uncle shared with me? How when he loved me, I was able to love others. Friends, that's the beginning. And that's the essence of our faith. Yes, Jesus calls us through his teachings to obey his commandments, to embody his love for the world. But before he calls us to love, he first loves us. Aren't we all like me as a young greenhorn manager? Aren't we all those people on our journey dependent and in need of receiving love before we can give love? Well, friends, may we receive this morning and know beyond doubt that we are loved by the Father above and embraced with his Son to love the world around us. So God may be glorified now and forever through our life and ministry. Amen.